You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
We think of local schools, but our local schools really aren't that locally controlled anymore. They're more like outposts for a big national chain.
When scripture is dethroned, something else will always be enthroned in its place.
This doesn't make any sense to me because you've been saying that we take the Bible literally, but not on this topic. And it was at this point where the Baptist pastor just looked at me in his office and said, well, it would be silly to think it's his body and blood.
This incessant quibbling over doctrine is interfering with the unity of the church and with church fellowship. That's nonsense. We have no fellowship with God apart from the divine word which Jesus delivered to his apostles.
Lutherans at the Old Latin School in Lutherstadt Wittenberg love issues, etc.
I don't know how useful the labels conservative and liberal are, but people still identify themselves or think of themselves in those terms, whatever they mean by them. And when they do, sometimes the stereotypes kick in. The stereotype of the liberal is of someone who is broad-minded, generous, concerned, deeply concerned about others, especially those less fortunate, and generally a person who wants the world to be a better place, a positive outlook on life. And of course, the other side of that stereotype is that the conservative is generally unhappy with himself and everyone else, greedy, miserly, stingy. Is this true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, November the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Turns out it isn't. We're going to be debunking the myth of the mean, greedy, unhappy conservative. Glenn Stanton, a Focus on the Family, will be joining us a little bit later. We'll talk about the first Common Core high school graduates. They went through all 4 years of high school under Common Core in English and math. How did they do? Then, in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we continue our series, Introduction to the Books of the Bible. Today, the book of Romans. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. Joining us to debunk the myth of the mean, unhappy, greedy conservative, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including The Myth of the Dying Church and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Research Finds Conservatives Are More Happy, Generous, and Purposeful Than Liberals. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
What is the stereotype, very popular, to which we are going to respond for the next few minutes?
Well, it's you know, pretty clear. In fact, it has become a false truism, if you will, because it's repeated so often, but that liberals are more generous, you know, the bleeding heart liberals, they care for the poor, they're more generous, they're more giving, they're happier in life because they're not so selfish. And that is true if you go by the stereotype. Stereotypes are pretty cheap. And if you look at the research, which is what I present in this article, I was really astounded to see how strong the data is, that actually the truth is completely reversed, that conservatives are more gracious, kind, generous with their money to the, you know, needy, both with their money and with their time, volunteering, things like that. And this was fascinating, that it's not just conservatives that are happier with life. They find more meaning in life, and the more conservative you are socially, the happier you tend to be. And it matters by political party as well, that Republicans generally are happier, more contented with life than Democrats are.
So to explain that last point that we'll come back to in a minute, if you look at, say, a conservative Democrat compared to a conservative Republican or even a more liberal Republican, the Republican's going to be happier.
Well, that's true. And Pew is the one that put this information out. So conservatives are generally happier than moderates or liberals. So if you have a Democrat who's conservative, he's going to be or she's going to be more happier and contented with life than Democratic moderates or liberals. But if you look at Republican conservatives, they are significantly more likely to be happier and more contented and have more purpose in life than their conservative Democratic peers. And, you know, just each of those categories, Republicans do well in terms of happiness and contentedness in the conservative, moderate, and liberal realm than Democrats do.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, that's easily explained because Republicans are all rich fat cats who have it easy in life?
Well, I mean, that is exactly the common reaction there. But what we find out is that is true across income levels. I mean, in fact, it is absolutely true for conservative Republicans who make less than $30,000 a year. I mean, think about that. That's, you know, you don't have a whole lot of easiness in life, and you don't have a whole lot of expendable income if you're making less than $30,000. But those making less than that, they, for conservatives, for Republicans, they give more of their money away than Democrats in the same, you know, financial category.
Let's deal with the happiness issue to begin with. I mean, happiness is a difficult thing. It's subjective. But what does the research say about how people respond when asked the key questions?
Well, it's interesting because the way that they measure happiness, yeah, is we look at it subjectively, but the scholars look at it more definitively, you know, like, what do you have present in your life? Are you contented? And what they found was, I mean, two important measures. One was just general happiness. The other was, do you have a sense of purpose in life? Do you have a larger sense of meaning in your life? And the more conservative you were, the higher that number was. And here is another fact, Todd, that, you know, again, I love this. Scholars get into this deep stuff. But they said the terms that they used were globally, daily, and momentarily. What that means is that conservatives were more likely to, generally across the board, the big umbrella over their life, they were more likely to have that kind of happiness. But they were also significantly more likely to feel that way daily and to feel that way moment to moment. The scholars studied that kind of thing. So it's not like, oh gosh, I'm a conservative Christian, I need to be happy, so I'm going to report being happy. No, in the warp and woof of people's daily lives, it was the conservatives, social conservatives, who are Republican, who report the highest levels across their lives, daily, and then moment by moment during the day.
So that's happiness. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of being generous. What did we discover there?
Well, again, I mean, just across the board that, I mean, conservatives were found to be more gracious, more giving, more compromising, if you will, in their own financial well-being to the poor. One scholar even looked at the issue of tipping. You know, you go out to a restaurant, and they said for those tipping 15% or more on their bill to food service workers, conservatives were markedly more likely to tip that much regularly than their liberal peers were. I say in the article, these MAGA hat wearing people are being kicked out of restaurants. Well, servers need to know that those are the people that are more likely to tip you well.
What about satisfaction with family, kind of your general home life?
Yeah, well, see, that was a fascinating thing that I looked at is for those 41% of both liberals and moderates report being completely satisfied with their family lives, 41% of liberals, when 52% of conservatives do. And being conservative increases the odds of being, quote unquote, completely satisfied with family life by 23%. over their liberal peers. I mean, that's pretty significant. And when we think of our family lives being our home base, where we go to for comfort and security and encouragement when we get down, that is family. And again, conservatives and social conservatives, that was another thing, Todd, is they found not fiscal conservatives were as happy, but social conservatives were the most happy. And so if you live in a family like that, you are more likely to find the kind of encouragement, the kind of love, the kind of welcome, those things that all human needs. And so, I mean, that is a huge measure.
Was there anything in the data on any of these kind of questions that had to do with conservatives who attend church?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, regular church attenders are nearly twice as likely to say that they're very happy in life than those who seldom or never attend church. You know, they're more likely to be healthy, more likely to be employed, you know, with a happy job. I mean, it is remarkable. There is an absolute wealth of data over the past 30 years showing that committed religious faith, that would be, you know, Jewish, Christian, otherwise, really makes a positive difference in people's lives. And again, church attending itself, people are twice as likely to be happier than those who seldom attend or never attend.
Glenn Stanton is our guest, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. We're debunking the myth of the mean, greedy, unhappy conservative. When we come back, how and why do the media and even academia reinforce the myth? Concordia Publishing House's annual Fall Warehouse Sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 1st through the 4th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, November 1st through the 4th.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
We're debunking the myth of the mean, greedy, unhappy conservative. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family is our guest. Glenn, how do the media and even academia reinforce this stereotype of conservatives?
Well, popularly, I mean, you know, it is just open season to criticize conservatives and evangelical Christians. And when you look at the things that are said about conservatives and evangelical Christians, I mean, replace that descriptor with any other social group, and, you know, people would just be hammered for saying such ugly things. But on Christians and conservatives, it's just open season. Now, with academics, it's not the academics who really study this stuff that say this. It's the academics who basically, I mean, I say this with all due respect, are just shooting their mouths off, you know, based on their ideologies rather than on the research itself. Now, what is fascinating, I mean, in academia, you have the big mouth, you know, vocal people just saying whatever they want relative to their ideology. But then you have, you know, what I call the real hardcore working scientists. And those people who just really do study this stuff, they know it. I mean, they know it well. In fact, one study that I talk about in here, it found that conservatives had more kind of psychotic tendencies, and that got a whole bunch of press. There are a number of scholars working in this field that said, yeah, that doesn't sound right, because we're seeing quite the opposite in our research. So they crunched the numbers again, and what they found, that it was the exact opposite. This original study got their figures exactly backwards, and they said that it was liberals who had greater mental unhealth than it was conservatives. And so you had these scholars, and they're like, yeah, they could have been liberal themselves, but they're like, no, we know this data. We study this stuff. We know the larger body of literature, and we know that conservatives generally do better in all of these measures of well-being than their liberal peers.
When it comes to generosity, it's interesting, an irony that you point out in your article that was brought to the fore by Arthur Brooks, that people who favor government-enforced income redistribution are not really very generous themselves with the opportunity to redistribute their own wealth voluntarily.
No, I mean, that is fascinating. And Arthur Brooks' book, Who Really Cares? The Surprising Truth About Compassionate Conservatism, he makes that point. He says the liberals are super good at taking other people's money and giving it to the poor, but when they have the choice, the free choice to give their own money away, they are tightwads. In fact, it's interesting that the New York Times, two columnists at the New York Times said exactly the same thing. Paul Sullivan, he said, the more Republican a country is, the more its residents report charitable contributions. And Nicholas Kristof, I mean, your listeners will recognize that name. I mean, he never has anything nice to say about conservatives, but he looked at this research as well and wrote a column, you know, bemoaning that liberals were more tightwads. In fact, his article was entitled Bleeding Heart Tightwads. I mean, he saw that, no, these people who, it's a caricature that they care, that they're giving, that they're volunteering in the community and helping the poor. What they're doing is trying to build up government so that government tries to do those things. And as all of us know, they're completely inefficient at doing that. And so, no, the liberals, the needy in society, they do not want to, you know, attach their horses to the liberals. The data is just very clear that the conservatives are more their friends than the liberals are.
So a couple of final questions. What does this tell you, looking in at this data, about, generally speaking, the liberal tendency to want a government solution for things like poverty, as opposed to saying, you know, I think I'm just going to pull some money out of my pocket and help someone who's poor?
Well, I mean, it shows a great disingenuousness, if you will, of course, because they're always marching under that banner, you know, help the poor, do this, watch out for the least of these among us. And again, they're not the ones that are really putting the hours in and putting the dollars in. What they want is somebody else to do it. They want government to do it, and they want the rest of us to pay for the government to do that. And so it's, I mean, it's stunning, Todd, how you can get this picture of, well, it's the Republicans that are hurting the poor and don't care about the poor. But when you look at the data, when you look at what the liberals actually believe and do, no, again, it's, they're no friend to the poor at all.
There was a recent article, and I cannot remember where I saw it, Glenn, but it proposed a thought experiment, which was, you know, what if Christians and kind of para-Christian organizations, especially those organizations, para-church organizations, decided to go on strike, and they just kind of laid out the contributions that Christians as individuals, then through these organizations, church organizations, para-church organizations make in terms of adoption, charitable work, soup kitchens from individual congregations.
Yeah.
If they all went on strike, he made the case that it would basically bring society to a grinding halt. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is such a huge thing. I mean, first of all, you never see the Aldous Huxley Memorial Hospital in town or the Charles Darwin Memorial Food Kitchen downtown. It's always Saint Somebody's or, you know, New Hope Church that's doing these kinds of things. I like to put it this way, Todd, that any city council of any notable city of any size, they know when they're looking at the needs in their communities of caring for old people, feeding the poor on a daily basis, crisis pregnancies, things like that, food pantries, those kinds of things, taking people to, you know, doctor's appointments and things like that that can't get there by themselves. Any city government who is responsible for taking care of those people know that their best friends and the people that step up are the faith communities and primarily Christians. I mean, they know this. They know the resources in their town. But then we have these secularists who are saying, well, these churches, these ministries shouldn't be getting tax deductions. It's not that they're getting tax deductions to get rich. They're getting tax deductions because the community, the federal government and the local government realizes, no, like you said and like that article said, if these people were to go away tomorrow, we would be in a world of hurt, and the poor would be in a world of hurt.
Finally, even if conservatives were no more generous or perhaps even more stingy than liberals, that would not be an argument against their ideas, would it?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, the ideas are what they are, and you have to look at the impact that they have within a community. But again, I mean, it's, and I understand your question, but these researchers also say, okay, there's something about conservatism and there's something about republicanism that is associated with this greater giving. And that's very, very significant. This is, you know, not too obscure to your listeners, but you think about the towns, the cities that the liberals have run. You know, I think about Detroit. I think about Chicago. I think about San Francisco. Those places, in many ways, have become third world countries right in our nation. You look at the more conservative places, those are running well. There's law and order. There's more employment. People are happier. There's more resources for the poor, things like that. I mean, it's interesting. Okay, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We're not Mormons. But there's so many homeless that go to Salt Lake City. Why? Because the Mormons are very good at stockpiling resources and giving those resources. The homeless are not really going to these places that are disasters. Those places, you know, run by democratic ideas and democratic governments.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, and he's author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Research Finds Conservatives Are More Happy, Generous, and Purposeful Than Liberals. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Glenn, thanks.
Hey, you betcha, Todd.
Well, the very first class of Common Core high school students, all 4 years in high school under Common Core in English and math, have graduated. Has Common Core helped them improve those skills? Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, will join us to answer that question next.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.